All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for every day. Each day is a blessing, Lord. And I'm an empty vessel. I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the words to speak today. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been preaching through the Gospel according to John. We just got through with John chapter 1. There is a lot to say in John chapter 1. I believe we preached like four or five messages just in chapter 1. So maybe a while before we get through with the Gospel of John, but that is okay. I love the Gospel according to John. We land in John chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, and after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worst, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. First thing I want to point out is this is the first miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ did. And this identifies him as the prophet like unto Moses. The first miracle that the Lord did was turning water into wine. But Moses' first miracle, or his first plague that he did in the sight of Egypt, was turning water into blood. Jesus turned water into the blood of a grape. So this identifies him with the prophet like unto Moses. Go with me to Exodus chapter 7. Hold your place in John chapter 2, because we'll probably be going back and forth to this. Exodus chapter 7. Verse 14. Exodus 7:14, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come, and the rod which was turned into a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand unto the waters of Egypt, upon their streams and upon their rivers and upon their ponds and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the vessels of wood and in the vessels of stone. So Moses turned water into blood. The Lord turned water into the blood of a grape, or grape juice, wine, whatever you want to call it. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18. I said earlier this identifies him as the prophet like unto Moses. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. Like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see his great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, God manifest in the flesh, stepped down from heaven, and he was the prophet like unto Moses. He was God manifested in the flesh, and he declared unto them the word of God, as the word says. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 21. They was even questioning John the Baptist. This was before they Jesus' public ministry. John chapter 1, 21, and they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. So they was wondering if he was that prophet like unto Moses. That was John the Baptist. And he said, no. But his disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ's disciples, recognized him. Let's go to verse 45. John chapter 1, 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So they recognized him as the prophet like unto Moses. Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 3. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly saith unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear, and in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God hath made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you, first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So the Lord Jesus Christ was identified as the prophet like unto Moses. Let's go back to John chapter 2, verse 6. My second point is the water made into wine. What was this about? There was a big significance about this. And there were set six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins. So these pots that they used to get the water was made for the purifying of the Jews. Let's go to Numbers chapter 19. Again, hold your place here because we're going to be going back and forth. Numbers chapter 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face, and Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of a congregation seven times, and one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood and her dung, and shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer, and the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day. On the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead, and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean, and his uncleanness is yet upon him. So what they did was they offered this heifer up and sprinkled the blood on the tabernacle, and then what was left over they burnt, and the ashes they put in pots and filled them with water and would take a hyssop and sprinkle it on the people. And so it was used for the purification of the Jews. And so these pots, these water pots that they had, was used for that. So let's go back to our text here in John chapter 2. Verse 7. And Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim, and he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. You think he would have drank it if he didn't know where it came from? He knew not whence it was, but the servant which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. So this was used for the purification of the Jews. And this water containing the remnants of the heifer's ashes was turned into grape juice, or the blood of a grape, wine. And this foreshadows his blood being shed for our purification. He uses the blood of a grape to picture his blood being shed for our purification. Now, before I go any further, this wine was not fermented. It was grape juice. And let's go to Genesis chapter 40 to prove this. Genesis chapter 40, verse 8. There are times in the Bible when grape juice is called wine. Genesis chapter 40, verse 8. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph saith unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said unto him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches, and it was as though it had budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. Not fermented grapes, ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. So this was the Joseph being in prison with two butlers, and the butler was telling him, I will be giving the Pharaoh wine. And he's taking ripe, unfermented grapes and pressing them into Pharaoh's cup. So there are instances where wine in the Bible is unfermented grape juice. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20. We need to discern which is what's being talked about whenever it's talking about fermented wine or unfermented grape juice. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. So it lets us know right here that this is talking about fermented wine. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So the Bible tells us that drinking alcohol is wrong. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. Let's turn the page to Proverbs 23, verse 31. Proverbs 23:31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. It's talking about fermentation. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. And thou shalt be as that lieth, he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. That sounds almost like a country song, don't it? So the Bible obviously tells us that drinking alcohol is wrong. So just wanted to put that out there. The Lord was not endorsing this. He was using unfermented grape juice. This grape juice or wine was not fermented, and it was a picture of His blood purifying our sin. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus Christ's blood pure? Absolutely. Fermentation is a chemical breakdown or deterioration. Now, it preserves the things that's in it, basically, but it is a chemical breakdown. And the Lord Jesus Christ's blood that was shed for our sins was not deteriorated or contaminated. His blood was pure. It was spotless. It was the blood of God Almighty that has the power to wash our sins away. So this miracle symbolizes or foreshadows Christ's blood being used for the purification of our souls. Let's go to Matthew 26. Verse 26, and this is talking about the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it unto his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. And that was grape juice. He was using that as to symbolize His blood being shed for our sins. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm taking you to 1 Corinthians so we understand that this is symbolizing His blood. Some believe that in the doctrine of transubstantiation, where a clergyman will say a prayer over it and it literally turns into His blood, we don't believe that. It's symbolic. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in the which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And after the same manner also He took the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. That phrase, as oft as you drink it, means it doesn't have to be done every Sunday. It just means as often as you choose to do this, do it in remembrance of Me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He comes. That term, ye do show, proves that it is a representation of it. You're not literally drinking His blood and eating His flesh. But there are some people who believe this, so wanted to clarify that. Wherefore, whosoever eateth this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So the blood of the grape, the wine, the grapefruit, the grape juice symbolizes His blood being shed for the purifying of our souls. Let's go to John chapter 19. I want to take y'all to John chapter 19, verse 31. And the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. So they wanted to break the Lord's legs so that He could die quicker, so that they can go on ahead and bury Him and get Him out of the way. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, that is the thief, and of the other which was crucified with Him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that He was dead already, and they brake not His legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. He turned water into blood, and blood and water came out of His side. The Lord was pierced in His side for His church, for you and me. He was pierced in His side for His bride. Whenever God made Eve, He took the rib out of Adam and formed Eve, right? The Lord Jesus Christ was pierced in His side for His bride, the church. Adam was pierced in His side for His bride. So what does this have to do with our message? Well, we're talking about a marriage supper, right? There is a bride and a bridegroom. Let's go to verse 8 of John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 8. And He saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. This was a marriage supper. This was a wedding event where there was a bride and a groom. This foreshadows the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 19. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Verse 7. While y'all turn there, get some water. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. That is the church. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now understand this. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are totally unworthy to stand at His presence because we are all sinners. We are all Adam's children. We are all sinners, and we do not deserve to stand in His presence. But it says that there's clean and white raiments for us. There is righteousness, that is imputed righteousness. Whenever you believe the gospel, you receive the imputed, sinless righteousness of Jesus Christ. Whenever God saved your soul, God took Christ's righteousness and put it on you, and took your righteousness, which is filthy rags, and put it in the garbage, and God sees you as His own children. And it says, and to her that was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Clean and white. For fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, and that came from the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So He calls us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This takes place after the rapture, and while the tribulation period's going on, we're up in heaven sitting at the table with the Lord. He has a place at the table for you. And whenever He sees us clean and white, imputed righteousness on our account, we are blood washed saints. We are blood washed saints. And we are seen purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And He looks at us just like a groom looks at his wife when she comes through that door. Men, you remember whenever your wife walked through that door? You remember how that felt? The Lord's going to see that in us. We're not worthy to be there, but we're purified by His blood. If you're saved in here today, that's your future. You have a place at the Lord's table. But if you're lost, that's not your future. Your future is in hell. But the Lord calls you to the marriage supper. He calls you home. He calls you to believe on Him. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a sinless, perfect life. God Almighty came down from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, the second man of the Trinity, came down from heaven, lived a sinless, perfect life, something that you and I can't do, shed His blood on that cross and died for our sins, and rose from the grave on that third day. And as sure as that tomb is empty, our sins are gone. And He calls the saints to the marriage supper. There's a place at the table for you. And if you're lost in here today, there's a place at the table for you too. Why don't you come? Why don't you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today? Why don't you get saved today? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. I can't look at your heart and tell you whether you're saved or not. Only you and God know. Only you and God know. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank You for gathering us together to be in Your house. I just pray, Lord, that somebody here today, maybe that message was for somebody today. Maybe that was a comfort to somebody, give them something to look forward to. But if there is someone here today that does not know You, I pray that today can be the day of salvation. If there's one here that walked through those doors lost, I pray that today can be the day that they get found. I pray that today they get purified by your blood. And I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to give an altar call, and I usually sit on that bench. And if you are in here today and you want to hear the gospel, the good news, I invite you to come, and I'd be more than happy to open this Bible up to you and tell you the good news. Maybe you're in here today and you have a need to give to the Lord. I invite you to come and give it to the Lord today.